talking.
Yeah, let's go in talking. As it comes on, do you know what? Maybe we'll start off with a quick mention of Mark Roberts. Did you see he got done the Canada? Well, I'll start talking about it because I have it fresh on my head. He finished this enormous Canadian
race.
Yeah. So this was Mark.
So what was he doing?
He was doing that. So Roberts has an all Siberian Husky team. So there's eight, maybe nine dogs. Quite surprising that there was that many. Nine Siberian Huskies pulling him along in one of the longest races in Canada. It wasn't the Idiot Trot, it was the other one. Very long, grueling race, quite a high failure rate. And he says, with the Siberian Huskies, which is rare in Canada, but he's all raw fed, powered by fat was his slogan. Yeah, he's got himself a load of followers in the last year. Mark, check him out, guys. Mark Roberts, Dr. Mark Roberts, canine nutritionist, extraordinary, the pancreatitis guy that led the way and cleared all that up for us. About the role of fat and carbs and stuff. So he's great. And he writes nice articles once a week, those little videos. But quite scientific, very cool from Facebook. But he just finished that race. They were saying that, you know, compared to the mongrels, they haven't a hope. The Siberian Huskies don't have the pulling power of the Husky cross, Chinook cross, hound. I don't know what else that cross would. But they couldn't possibly win. But it's the fact they're finishing the race. So I wrote a little piece there today, and I was saying, of all the advantages raw might have, whatever about a few little things about joints, you know, there's a few little studies that you could bring up about that, which was interesting. The sled dogs, the more protein they fed, the less injuries they had. The least protein, the most injuries over a season. So that was from Reynolds in 1996. I talked about a few other benefits. Then I mentioned the panting thing that you came up with, Nick. Brendan, did you with that? Eat more CHO, carbohydrate, the more you have
to get rid of it.
You got to pump it out.
Yeah.
So now you're panting more, which is not good. I mean, who wants to be gassing out? So I came up with three gems, and it really caught on. And lots of sled people were saying, is there any more information on sporting dogs? But, I mean, you know, there's...
Let's do a show on
everything
pertaining to sled dogs.
Yeah, top 10 reasons why we think... The problem is we don't have... There's no... As the girls were saying in the UK, they said, we have all Siberian pulling teams, three or four, doing different sports, canny cross, biking, whatever. And she said the top four are all raw-fed, the teams are. But she says, I couldn't tell you what the difference is between dry or raw-fed because it's not like they're being compared. There's a lot of raw-fed teams out there now. You know, can't do time trials. It's too narrow. There's too many factors. How your dogs can get injured. You know, it's all
depends. You could do vet bills. Vet bills per dog.
Oh,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, but who would they wouldn't get? Would they get involved? Would you get both sides involved in equal measure to measure?
Do you know what? Monitoring their injuries to their dogs, you know, in those high performance environments,
that would be a good one. Because we already suspect, due to that study in 1996, we already suspect the more carbs you're feeding them. So that was interesting. Anyway, so fair play to Mark Roberts. Boo the bust for Mark. Well done. That is a savage effort, and apparently. Huge weight loss in the matter to push that thing along. Any hills, the dogs will start to slow, unlike the mongrels, which just keep pulling. You can stand on it and go up a hill.
Was that a play on word? Was that like any hills?
Any hills.
And the dogs will start to slow.
I love that the hills have got they used to have a logo, and it was the H, and underneath it said transforming lives.
For the good or the worse?
Well, I just said transforming lives, and I was going to get a T-shirt because I think it's perfect. It's absolutely true. Yeah,
it can be quite transformative sitting in a hospital for a few weeks. All right, I shouldn't say that about hills. I've got no opinion about hills. I'm sure it's wonderful. But anyway, guys, tonight is FAQ. We are Raw Pet Medics. You will find us on patreon.com/rawpetmedics, and there people can give us the price of a cup of coffee each month, and we deeply appreciate it. And we see you doing it. Very, very helpful. And we are getting a lot more followers, and people are making their way over to Patreon, and we would just like to encourage more of you to do that if you can. We would deeply appreciate it. No problem if you can't. That's okay. We are here anyway on Facebook and anywhere you listen to your podcast and YouTube and anywhere else I'm forgetting. But guys, do you have any burning things you want to get off your chest?
We're also on YouTube. Yeah. So if you're not a fan of Facebook, you can see us on YouTube. And if you can subscribe... And smash the like button. That's the trendy way of saying it these days.
Yeah.
Smash that right? Like button, please, because then we get more people to the channel, and we can spread the word much greater. You can actually help us with that simply by doing those two things. So thank you.
But what questions, what burning questions have you got to get off your chest there? Nick, you've got Patreon.
I've got a list of questions from our lovely Patreon supporters. And so I've got about six here. And the first one's from Jenny Hughes, which is very interesting. It's about hypermobility in dogs. We can talk about that in a bit. But the question is, I was from Jenny Hughes. Thank you, Jenny. I was wondering about hypermobility in dogs, its causes and its management. I have a lab whose hocks are hypermobile, and I think I'm managing well, but a couple of customers mentioned it recently. I presume she has a shop, a raw store or something like that. Anyway, she has a lab. Don't know how old it is. Don't know a lot of detail, but hypermobility. Bren, do you want to just do
so? Are we
causes?
Talking, is this a young lab? Is this a young lab
we don't
or an
know.
Old lab?
We don't know. Let's assume.
Yeah, so. So
let's
it's
assume
really
it's a 2 or 3 year old lab, perhaps. Where would you go?
I'm intrigued by this because there is in humans a lot of association between gut flora, what's going on with ADHD and some of those side of things and hypermobility. So all of that link, isn't there, across inflammatory processes. Versus just is your gut flora in a certain way because of, and many of these are associated also with high processed foods, which many of the people suffering from this are on. So you wonder whether there is a sugar link to.
Yeah, totally.
Now, but what is interesting is, so my Labrador has one hock which has just started to drop in her old age, but I think there's a neurological element to this that she now has started with some back problems. Mm. So in older dogs, I think if they've got some slight neurological issues, then the muscle paresis, the weakness, can lead to the joints attaining an abnormal position. And so definitely see a chiropractor, definitely look at acupuncture, definitely look at all of the mobility support and anti-inflammatory stuff. If your dog has a young age, has any other behavioral issues associated with that hypermobility? One, I'd be super interested. Two, I'd be super interested if we could do an animal biome test, look at what's going on with the microbiome, see if we can change some things there, see if we can do, remember the guy who did a lot of homeopathy and use of methylated glycine, Tinus, what's his surname? The guy
Tinus
who did a lot on...
Schmidt. Dr. Schmidt, he's a Dutch fella.
Yeah.
Died about 15 years ago. Did a lot of work on AD, right. On autistic children.
Autistic
And he brought
yes.
around, brought around... about 300 children before he died. I think he started fairly late in life. It's not that he wasn't busy. It's just he started. He discovered these things, and he was using he would put them on a very pure dairy-free organic diet. He would increase
and
zinc,
gluten-free,
and magnesium, and probably gluten. Yeah. And he was using homeopathics, one of which was the stuff, it's kind of buttery material that some newborns are born. What's it? Calyx?
Meconium?
No.
Oh.
No, calyx cervix.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So basically, it's this buttery material that some babies are born in. And he was using that as part of it. But one of the big things that he was using, this guy Schmidt, was he was using the homeopathic remedy derived from the vaccine that mum may have had or that child may have had in order to do a detox. And I'm using this quite a lot with a lot of animals that I see. Yeah, it's like dog is fine until they get a Lepto-4 and then wrong. From then on in, I will use the Lepto-4 vaccine in a kind of Tina Spitz protocol to try and detox from that. Because if your immune system has been hit, maybe via the microbiome, then you've got to try and right that wrong. And I think that's a really good, it's easy, it's cheap, and
there was
non-toxic. And so it's a great thing to look at. Tina Smith.
Yeah. So just to reiterate,
cease protocol.
Hypermobility is just where we've got an excess. So rather than a restriction, which you see in many arthritic cases, you get an excess flexion of the joint so that things can bend the wrong ways, you know, that double jointed feel, you know, all of that side of things. Don't snap it.
I sent you a funny picture, actually.
Hypermobility. There was a really good set of lectures at the last BAHVS conference, okay, so for homeopathics. By the way, I am now the president.
So
that's going to be really interesting coming into the next conference next year up in Edinburgh. Really good set of lectures and talking about the historic use of vaccines in, you know, previous parents and going beyond. And people were saying, well, how does that transfer? And we've done so much talking about epigenetics and the influence of microbiome and the influence of vaccines on microbiome, actually it becomes quite obvious as to why that can be passed down a generation. We've seen so much stuff done in the early 20s about the effects of remedies on microbiome as well to understand why they could resolve some of those issues. But actually going back to understanding where you've got influences of vaccines in the ancestry of those cases, feeding down to the microbiome and then a few other epigenetic things come in, you can understand totally why it can affect this, you know, sudden generation.
I mean, in humans, hypermobility is double-jointedness. How are we spending so much time talking about microbiota and it affecting double-jointedness? I'm just Googling there. 10 to 25% of the population. If this is the same thing, if this is hyper-flexibility type issues in a dog, what is the microbiota link to joint?
So the microbiota link is that you've got, when you've got ADHD or you've got autism, you often have associated hypermobility with those cases. And we know that there is a link with those cases to what's going on with their microbiome and a certain microbiota. So there may well be a link that that affects the metabolism, which forms your, you know, connective tissues, and leads, therefore, to the two things happening in the same patient.
Yeah.
So that's where the microbiota link is. Now, how that actually changes, it may be, you know, we talked about zinc a moment ago as one of the treatments. If your microbiota are utilizing or sequestering the zinc, is that the link to why you end up with these other problems?
Isn't there a study in dogs that shows something about connective tissue? What was that study? Wasn't there vaccines and a connective tissue study? What was that?
Oh, there will be, I'm sure. Well,
I'm just going to jump in with regards to double jointedness. I think that if you meet somebody who's double jointed, you will not be able to tell unless they start, you know, bending their thumb to their elbow or something like that. You're not going to be able to tell. However, with a hypermobility, they're going to walk like Elvis Presley. They're going to be like rocking and rolling down the road. And so I think you are going to be able to see it. So
somebody said, don't tell dancers, we live for hypermobility.
If you're joints are too hypermobile, you cannot dance because you need big, you're not big, but you need strong, resilient connective tissues because you're putting them through their paces every time you dance. Fabulous thing. But so if you're double, I mean, there are degrees. It's a bit like autism, or being on the spectrum. Everybody's on the spectrum. It's just that most of us are down at the bottom, and there are certain things that might push you up the spectrum. What have you? Okay. So with this hypermobility thing, it only really comes into play where you can actually notice it. Maybe some dogs are double jointed, but we don't notice because they're trotting around and they're, you know, if they were human, they could dance. It's only when you get into the blimey, look, they're a bit, you know, all over the place. So I would say, there's the microbiome connection, which can be disrupted in a thousand ways, vaccine, pharmaceuticals, epigenetics, just, you know, what was the microbiome of your mum? That's going to have a massive influence on you as well. Or your antibiotic intake. But, you know, your vaccines and your pharmaceuticals, you can do something about. So I would also be looking at thyroid function as well. If that's if you're low thyroid, then that may have an effect on soft tissue. So have a read of The Canine Thyroid Epidemic by Dr. Jean Dodds.
I have a question for the vets. A client was saying that, is it possible for a dog for blood tests, initial blood tests, to show no cancer and for my dog to still have cancer? Does anybody want to comment on that?
I'd say there is. It is possible. If it does show, great, that's a positive. But if you get a negative on a general, you know, pretty in-depth general blood sample, you can't say to your client, your dog has not got cancer. I've seen it many times. And Brent, just before we came in, you were talking about a couple of new tests, BRCA and another test. And what I was going to ask about those tests were, are they general? If your dog is positive on this test, they have cancer, but you can't find it anywhere else. Or is the BRCA, I mean, that's the breast cancer gene in women, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, so, and it is associated with a degree of how cancerous that growth is, so how aggressive that cancer is. But what's really interesting is the new Q, which is looking at nucleosomes. So that has a spread for...
Hang on, new Q. How do you spell that? What test is
N-U,
that?
N-U.
Yeah.
N-U, and then hyphen.
Yeah.
Q, just a capital Q. Okay.
New Q.
Now available through NWL Labs in the UK. It's available in the States through IDEX, I believe. But it's now available through NWL. You can courier it to them. They used to do it under ice and loads of other stuff, but they now have found that it's absolutely fine as long as it gets to them with a cold pack within 24 hours, it's absolutely fine in the UK. Obviously, we're not as hot as the US for some reason. So they are now available. It costs, I believe, just over £100, including VAT. So,
and what does it test for?
Too expensive. And it looked at nucleosomes, and they did associate it with a CRP, so a chronic reactive protein test, just to differentiate some diseases. But they now just do the nucleosomes. They do offer alongside that, for not much more, a full biochemistry and hematology. But it looks particularly at osteosarcoma, hemangiosarcoma, and lymphoma. And the reason that it's so good is for all of those guys out there who are considering MRIs or PET scans or CTs as follow-up, there's a lot of information now on using the new Q test as a monitor to see how effective any surgery or any treatment is and whether you've got any secondaries occurring. So for sort of ongoing monitoring, it can be a really good new test that's available.
Oh, that's fantastic. With osteosarcoma.
N-U, so Martino, it's N-U, not W, N-U hyphen U.
Can you write it up there, Brent?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this is really good because with osteosarcoma cases, they are heartbreaking because osteosarcoma often happens in long bones, in the larger breeds. Greyhounds and Danes and all the big guys, and it's one of the most painful bone conditions. And often, just to do something to give the dog some relief, they will remove the leg. The problem is that often the disease has metastasized to the rest of the body, and so you'll be presented with this three-legged dog who looks absolutely fine, but you don't know whether there's significant metastases or not. So I can see the new Q, NU hyphen Q, test as being, are we going in the right direction? Yeah. Are things happening? Because you just can't tell. You know, if you've got metastases in the vertebrae, in the liver, in the lungs, you may not see them until they're, you know, actually visible. when you visualize those tests with ultrasound, MRIs, X-rays.
I think that was one of the cancers that Habib was. Habib mentioned two studies of medicinal mushrooms extending the life in dry-fed dogs by a year. It was lion's mane and turkey tail, the two mushrooms that he was talking about. And turkey tail is great. They pay a fortune for it over in Japan, but getting it there is the problem. But so we've got lots of it. We've trodden it. It grows out of our logs. It's everywhere. Highly, highly anti-cancerous. But I think one of the sarcomas was mentioned. Now I'm thinking it was hemangiosarcoma. But it was definitely one of the sarcomas. And he said a year for one of the most aggressive cancers. Can you imagine? Just from eating a little bit of mushroom. Fantastic. Gotta watch that, guys.
We see some great responses for complementary medicine to hemangiosarcomas. I've got them, you know, 4 or 5 years on, you know, without problems. I've got from osteosarcomas, giving them 18 months where they've been told 6 weeks is, you know, where they're going to be.
That's
great. And they just don't believe that, you know, and that gives them quality of life.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. Not
I'm sick
legs.
As a dog on chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Yeah.
But that's an aside. It was one that was a test that they used to have to ship them to Texas. So I think it might have been Houston. Or was it? University to get the test done under ICE in the States. But now I believe it's widely available at IDEX.
Which one? New Q.
Okay.
Right. So New Q is available in the UK. Well, to talk
with
you
UK, it's with NWL. With in the US, it's with IDEX.
Okay. And how much would that cost a client to run that through a vet like yourself?
I think it was about £75 plus VAT, okay, for the test itself. A little bit more, you can get the full biochem sort of follow-up and hematology with it as well.
How do you know to do that? If the bloods don't show up at cancer, how do you know to go and spend more money on specific tests for specific cancers? Is it just purely based on symptoms?
If you've got weight loss in an older dog, you've got maybe just not quite right, you maybe feel a mass in the abdomen, and so for some people they want to know a bit more before they go in, operations wise. If you've got a lame dog that's not responsive to pain relief, you know, it's a really good thing to differentiate, okay, has that got an osteosarcoma? Sometimes people will say, is that a swelling of the joint because it's an infection, or is that a growth? You know, so differentiating that can be really useful.
You want another question? We've got...
Yeah.
Okay, so Caden says, does omeprazole affect raw-fed dogs negatively? I'm still struggling with reflex stroke regurgitation after a meal, and vets have suggested omeprazole and an HA diet trial, possibly B12 and folate test.
Right.
Bren, you did a bit of work on omeprazole back in the day. Do you want to just share
there was some work done with the treatment of Helicobacter and the use of metronidazole alongside omeprazole. And in dogs, they found it had no effect. In fact, if anything, a negative effect to the treatment of Helicobacter. And then their question came in as to whether antacids in the canine and feline world were actually of any use whatsoever for shifting. So we know that there's a great study in 1985 by Young, somebody, I can't remember his the long name, but looked at the acidity of dog stomachs post-eating, which actually in the first 30 minutes goes down to between 0.5 and 2.5, and as a pH, it then sort of gets to a point of just below 3 to 4, and then, you know, it neutralizes just before emptying into the intestine, the small intestine, which is great, just does not burn the small intestine as it mixes with all the bile and everything else. You know, that is a great neutralization. And there is a question, you know, one, are you affecting the digestion by reducing acidity? Which, you know, if you see the acidity that happens when you feed a kibble. So the stomach emptying for a raw fed dog within some of those studies was plus or minus 73 minutes, around about 200 minutes, okay, for raw fed. If you suddenly put in kibble to some of these dogs, they had a gastric emptying time which was ranging into the sort of 400, 500 minutes, and they were still full of kibble. They tried to say, well, is that just because the amount of water that they were consuming, you know, wasn't allowing that digestion? But obviously the pH rush doesn't last anywhere near that long, so they had neutral stomachs that could then ferment, and you'd get, you know, bloating and all sorts of other issues occurring in those circumstances. And adding, you know, omeprazole hasn't, as far as I know, shown a change in that stomach acidity in that first 30 minutes of consumption for dogs. Slightly different humans, we don't have that same acidity. We do have a peak just in that first 30 minutes, but it's not the same. And we often have a different stomach emptying time as well. So, I still debate that there is no place for antacids in dogs. We should be looking at the base to the inflammatory cause and, you know, dealing with that inflammation, you know, changing the diets, whatever it takes.
I was just going to say, what's the first place your mind goes to, Nick, for inflammation that results in acid reflux and whatnot? What's the first place you go to before omeprazole?
I would go... They're suggesting B12 and folate, and that's not a bad idea. Because you may not be absorbing those vitamins appropriately. But I would go with food trials. Yeah, because, and I imagine Caden's done this, and I think he has. Yeah. But if you've got a dog who is regurgitating on a regular basis, and they are chicken sensitive or beef sensitive, and you continue to feed beef twice a week, you're going to have regurg twice a week.
Mm.
Why? Because you get this inflammatory response to an inappropriate protein. So I would totally go with food trials that I use, Vomisan, and it's quite similar to your Biofunction 8, contains chamomile mint and
Dor West do an excellent product as well.
Yeah, this better be good, Nick.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So these
you know, types marshmallow of roots and
also we'll edit this out later, guys. Don't worry.
Sorry, Connor, I just couldn't resist.
Yeah. What's this? What's this new one? What's this Vom or something?
Vomisan.
Yeah. What's that?
It's all in German. I can't remember what's in it, but It contains chamomile, mint, fennel. It's basically a herbal preparation.
Lovely.
And I will use it where the conventional guys would otherwise use omeprazole. Yeah, as the name suggests, Vomisan. It's kind of vomit.
It's surely worth a shot to do the reason we drink chamomile tea. It's called Mother of the Gut. It's fantastic. The studies abound, hundreds and hundreds of studies on chamomile, how effective it is for so many things. And acid reflux is mentioned in the studies. It's just fantastic. Type in your gut ailment and chamomile and you'll find the studies. And we know it works because after a full dinner, you take some chamomile and you will relieve the bloating and gas, just taking up some of the extra space in your guts. So it's really effective. So I think they're definitely worth a shot first. The B12 and whatnot is checking to see if you're low in that. If you are low in that and you're a raw feeder, that should tell you that you have a bit of an issue going on, because you shouldn't be low on B12, meat being the source of that. So it's like you have a massive hole in your bucket, but it gives you focus then as, okay, that's where the problem is. It's in the first and top part of your intestines there. And so you kind of know, okay, I'm onto something now, and we know what this is, because there's a lot of different reasons why you can get acid reflux, I suppose, and acibo being one, but I'm sure there's many other causes. The food trial and whatnot, that's got to be the first things to try.
So Jenny Hughes has asked, and I was about to ask, surely there's an Irish seaweed that's also really good in.
Oh, wonderful! In yeah, I do hate putting my own products on this show. I don't know why I don't do that. Chamomile is just—it's simple, but it's got to be organic. So you want to get organic chamomile, and I always pair it with marshmallow, which is what Biofunction is. Just over my shoulder there, and a few seaweed, nutritional deficiencies and whatnot. But you've got to feed, you've got to explore that single protein, nice, simple, easy to digest diet. Might be a time to try a little lightly cooked diet for a while. If you've tried all the raw diets, try and shift to a lightly cooked one if you wish. Bren doesn't like that. But because it's easier to digest, so when the guts are firing, it's something to cool off the jets. And so I have a bit of success with that as well. But it can be a bit tricky sometimes if it doesn't go away.
Yeah, and I think there's something else to add in here, and that's where so many people associate. If they've got a gut upset, that they should be lowering the fat and actually just adding in more omega-3s, you know, as an anti-inflammatory fat would be really useful for helping to seal and heal the gut, just improve, you know, what the body's able to do is reducing the inflammation.
Calcium
really useful.
Can we not pop in a bit more calcium? Okay, now maybe like, let's say ground eggshell powder. Can we not try and copy the Rennie approach and say, okay, what about hocking in a bit of calcium here? Or are you just going after the omeprazole route and fiddling with things?
But
and
is
not...
that not the carbonate that actually, you know, is the thought in processing that when you're talking about adding in the calcium, like the antacids? It's usually because it's calcium carbonate and they're asking the acid to combine with the carbonate, produce carbon dioxide and water.
Yeah.
So neutralizing the excess acid.
Yeah.
But do you really want to produce, you know, do you really want to try and do that? I mean, that's, you know, why would you neutralize the acid? You know, the acid is really good for good digestion at that point. And it's not hyperacidity that's often causing the problem. It's inflammation.
Okay.
So get rid of the inflammation.
Yeah.
Stop buggering around. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
Stop messing around with the acidity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Right, guys. I've got another two questions from our Patreon people. Let's go over to our Patreon.
Yes.
And let's have another 10 minutes and just whack through. At this rate, two questions would take us about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
let's just give a little blast for the last two questions. Lovely. Over on Patreon. That'll be fantastic. I think this
come
really
and join
nice.
Us if you can. That would be brilliant. You know, just on patreon.com/rawpetmedics and you will find us over there. Be great to see you, great to join our community, great to support what we do. Thank you so much. And we're going to need to update everybody about what we're doing because there's so much coming up.
Yeah,
we're going to get really excited.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. We'll do a rundown.
Coming months, so.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay.
Look, guys.
Everybody,
see you later,
thank
guys.
You so much. We're going over to Patreon now.
Toodaloo.